Diary, March 1899. Currumbong, New South Wales, Australia, March 1st to 31st, 1899. Sunnyside, Currumbong. I thank my Heavenly Father this morning that I am as well health-wise as I am. Returned at 9 o'clock from Newcastle and slept until 5 o'clock. Sunnyside. I slept until 1:30. I sought the Lord in prayer. Oh, that the Lord would increase my faith and let light shine into my mind and soul. I wrote some things, and I am trying to say those things that the Lord would have me say to our people. W.C. White came in very early with Dr. Caro. We had some important things to say in reference to the work in Sydney, and in reference to the favor that is being obtained in Sydney. Doctor related most interesting cases he has treated. Last Friday, he treated a case which was considered perfectly hopeless. She had gone to the most experienced physicians, and they told her she could not live 6 hours. She must have help. Doctors were called in and did not attempt to do anything. Said they would call another physician. She said, "No, take me to the sanitarium at Summer Hill. I can but die." It took some time, so precious to her, but when Dr. Caro examined her, he told her she could not live 2 hours. But he would try and do this best. She could but die. Dr. Caro asked God to help him and commenced the dangerous operation. It was successful. This was 1 week ago last Friday. This is marvelous in the eyes of the physicians. She is doing well and is full of gratitude to God that she survived the process essential. This is marvelous in the eyes of the most exalted men, and this will give worldly physicians confidence in the men who are Seventh-day Adventists. God's covenant is with His people. He will bless those who have cultivated faith and love for truth. Those who have cultivated all the powers God has given them will have increase of powers, holding them as a sacred trust to do service for God. We have the assurance that the Lord will help us as we move forward in faith. Sister Starr conducted a cooking class of 200 women, and that successfully. This is one of the moral forces that is to be put in exercise to instruct the people till prejudice will be removed, and we may win souls to Christ. Dr. Caro was much pleased. Sunnyside. I thank the Lord I have rested well during the night. It is 2 o'clock. I can sleep no more. I arise and dress, and seeking the Lord in prayer, I commit our case to Him who is too wise to err and too good to do us harm. We see more and more the necessity of calling upon the Lord for special help. He owns the whole world, and why should we not call upon Him for means to do His work? He says, "Ask, and ye shall receive. Seek, and ye shall find." We want means to carry forward the work of God in our world. We feel in deep earnest to make a success if we can do anything to open the eyes of those who are in the darkness of error. Dr. Caro called upon us, returning from Newcastle. Dr. Caro addressed the people who came to hear, filling the tent full. He said he had profound attention. The doctor feels and teaches that life is for wise purposes and earnest action. We, Elder Daniels, Dr. Caro, W.C. White, Brother James, Sarah, and I, rode over the school ground and selected a place to build a hospital. We shall call for 19 acres of land. We shall clear the land at once, for there must be no delay. This will be a branch hospital called Health Retreat. Sunnyside. I attended meeting at the chapel and spoke to a large congregation. Sunnyside, Currumbong. I could not sleep after 1 o'clock a.m. I am thankful to the Lord I can write, although my left eye continues to trouble me. That gnat must have left something of itself in my eye. After writing until 4 o'clock, I lay down and slept about 30 minutes. W.C. White touched me on the shoulder, and I was awake in a moment. He said he wished me to go with him and Sarah and meet parties on the ground where the hospital is to be. We made our preparations and were off, and met a party on the grounds, Elder Daniels, Brother Palmer, Brother Thompson, Brother Hare, and others. A proposition was made that we locate the hospital nearer the school buildings. Many supposed advantages were laid before me, showing why it would be best, but I could not understand. I was then unable to take it all in. But we looked the ground over carefully, and I told our brethren I saw fewer advantages than in the place we had already selected. But if I was the only one of the party who thought thus, I would not urge the matter of the first location, although I saw no reason to change my mind. I then found there was not one of the party who looked with favor upon the proposition. They thought our first selection, not far from the church, the best. That matter decided, it was also decided that the land on the side of the road to the meeting house and school buildings could not be given in exchange for Brother Warsnop's place. His location must be on the opposite side of the road, and he should have 15 acres for 5 of his land. After taking refreshments, we went to view the land beyond Brother Thompson's. We found excellent land, and thought the exchange could be made to satisfy Brother Warsnop. In the afternoon, there was a board meeting. Brother Pocock came to work in painting the buildings. By conversing with him, we found the situation of his family, and advised him to return at once and bring his wife and 5 children to Korenbong. His wife's father and mother will come after he finds a place, for they would suffer where they are. We were made acquainted with their situation through Brother and Sister Star. It is not right to allow one of the Lord's children to remain in that place any longer. Our brother has felt too delicate to make known his necessities. When we searched into the matter, we knew our duty was to go ahead and take the matter right in hand. We had no money, but we were fortunate to borrow £3 and place in his hands to pay the fare of himself and family and freightage on their goods. The workwear was so that Brother Pocock could be spared to go and move his family. Sunnyside, Korenbong. I could not sleep this morning past 30 minutes after 2. Brother Pocock returns to his place for his family on this morning's train. If Providence favors, he will return next Sunday. 10 years ago, I think it was, he selected him a place which would cost very little money. It was right amid the rocks. He was obliged to build or make land on the rocks in which to plant a little passion fruit and a few other fruit trees. His home he built himself. He ascends the steep hill, right up a rocky mountain. He carried all his lumber on his back and has injured his back by so doing. I shall get particulars and write them, for I would have our people know how some poor people live. This man is a gentleman in appearance. We first became acquainted with him when our houses were being built. Someone told me of a Brother Pocock, an excellent man, very poor and in need of work, which he failed to find. We employed him for some months. He was a coachmaker and a builder, and we thought him one of the excellent among the children of God. When he left our place, he asked if I would give him some of our books that he could read and help his neighbors to get up a Sabbath school. The nearest neighbor was about 3 miles away. I gave him a large amount of reading matter, gave him Great Controversy, Patriarchs and Prophets, and several of my writings. He did not lisp a word of his home, and I thought he had a little farm he had taken up, but while he had to pay for that little spot of earth, he had carried up a mountain and put on the rocks, he building his own home himself, he paid £2 per year for this rocky spot, and last year made only £3 from the land. We sent him, from our family clothing, a box every year, and this has kept his family in clothing. He has a wife, an excellent woman, and they have 5 pretty children. The oldest is 10 years, I think. When I learned the particulars, I felt so sorry that I could not have been informed before. They have lived on almost a starvation diet. He is a gentlemanly appearing man, has a noble forehead, and is refined in manners. He is one of God's precious jewels. After we had taken them 3 miles to the station, Sarah McInterfer and I, on the way, tried to secure an old shanty for the family, but the owner asked 3 shillings per week. We knew that was exorbitant. There was only battens and boards, no finishing. There were cracks that you could put your hand through, and winter is coming on. We continued to search. Mr. Hughes at Korenbong had just built him a home, and he generously let him have a 2-roomed cottage free. It was comfortable, although small. Sunnyside, Korenbong. I arose at 3 o'clock and commenced writing. I earnestly beseech the Lord to give us wisdom and grace and His salvation. We cannot trust in our own judgment or our own wisdom. We must have help from God. We must know that God is our counselor, and our whole dependence must be upon God. I prepared manuscript for my workers. There is much planning to be done, and we wish to move understandingly. There is the case of Brother Warsnop. We wish him to have another piece of land. We will pay him in triple acres if he will be satisfied to move on the other side of the road. This he has not been willing to do, but the advantage for him is great, although he does not now see it to be thus. The Lord will help him. We can see a spot of land joining the piece selected for Brother Warsnop that will serve Brother Pocock, and this is, as my son said, the very best thing we can do with the land. One farmer wished to purchase 30 acres of this land, but we did not feel free to dispose of the land to a farmer who already had a farm and was doing well. We must have this land, not to make money from its sale, but to be held in reserve for just such occasions as will arise. Here is Brother Lord with his large family. We must furnish him a chance to build a sort of a house for himself and family. The man has lost his situation because of the Sabbath. Here is Brother Pocock. He must have him a place. This land is just such as will serve these families nicely. They can plant fruit trees, and then the lower portion is excellent for raising vegetables. Oh, I thank the Lord for this land to be apportioned out to those who are turned adrift. We now feel deeply the dearth of means. May the Lord help us is my daily prayer. Then as I pray there comes light in my mind. From America we shall see of the salvation of God. But our poor must be helped. Those having good trades are thrown out of work, and we must utilize these men. I feel deeply for every soul taking his stand for the truth, and we must have something to help them to help themselves. God will help us, and that right early. We must have means to build our hospital. I know they can help us in America. We do the very work that should have been done when we first came to this new world. The Lord calls for means. The Lord calls for workers established in the truth who will not hoard their means, but keep it in circulation to help. Sunnyside, Corinbong. This morning I slept until nearly day. Wonderful for me. Word came that I was expected to take Dr. Carroll with my team to see a sick man, Mr. Barnes, who has been very near death with typhoid fever. Rode 6 miles and a half, W.C. White, Dr. Carroll, and I. We improved this opportunity to visit and had important conversation in regard to the medical missionary work, and especially in reference to the health home, the work to be done, and who shall represent the medical missionary work in its several lines in Melbourne and in Adelaide. We need men of clear minds who can reason from cause to effect, who will not move impulsively, but solidly, and in faith and firm trust in God. Sunnyside, Corinbong. I could not sleep past 1 o'clock. I thank the Lord that I am much improved in health. My mind is clear, and I have freedom in writing. I take my pen this morning with a grateful heart that I am as well as I am. I received telegram that Elder Starr would be here, with Mr. and Mrs. Holland, who were coming to see the school land. Our horses and phaeton must go for these.